This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, August 18th, 1976, a new book hits the bookshelves. The book was Roots, Alex Haley's sprawling epic tracing his family back to a person by the name of Kunta Kinte, and in many ways tracing the history of slavery and the African-American experience in this country. Roots was a sensation, a massive bestseller of a book, and as you likely know, an epic television miniseries not long after. But today we'll talk mostly about the book and I guess the roots of Roots. And here to discuss that are, as always, Nicole Hammer of Vanderbilt and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hello, Jody.
Hey there.
And we should, of course, say, Kelly, you edited a book called Reconsidering Roots, Race, Politics, and Memory. So this is very much in your wheelhouse.
Oh, yes. I'm excited to dive in. This is great.
Yeah, for sure.
We've been doing a lot of my favorites lately.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, I want to hear all about the book and so forth. But, you know, one thing that just caught my eye, 1976, there's a bicentennial going on. I'm wondering if you can just sort of talk about Roots arriving in the midst of that, because the summer of what it was like in the summer of 1976 in terms of people thinking about this country's history was a really interesting moment for this book.
It's the 200 year celebration. And in that moment, if you are watching TV, I believe this is also the same year that Gone with the Wind is re-aired on national television, and it is the highest ranking show of all time, which I think is really telling about where we are as a country that we're celebrating the 200th anniversary and people want nothing more than to rewatch Gone with the Wind, right? Like, I think it says a lot. So when Alex Haley comes on the scene with his book, there was nothing else like it really on the market that people could get this full history of what it might be like to be enslaved, to live through the Middle Passage, survive the Middle Passage, survive slavery, and then have a story of descendants telling what that life was like. Roots was just a phenomenal piece of literature, and not too many things have sort of had that explosive entrance in the literary world.
I will say, you know, this book was, I think, and I'm sure there's a story here, but you know, it was originally going to publish in 1970 and then 71. It kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and then it arrives in 76 in this really interesting moment. But I don't think that was the plan all along, was for Alex Haley to be like, well, I'm going to offer the counter narrative to the Lost Cause mythology, which is bubbling up in the 200th anniversary. But you know, very interesting.
It's crazy. He took way too long. I mean, he pushed back deadline after deadline after deadline with this book. Part of the reason he was pushing it back is because he wasn't just writing the novel, he was also writing it for TV at the same time. So he's like writing a script, he's imagining it first as like a TV show, and then he's thinking about the novel, because they come out, you know, one after the other. And so it's crazy. There's a really good book for those who want to do a deep dive by Matt Delmont. It's called Making Roots, A Nation Captivated. And it's really the only book that talks about the making of this book. And it's so fascinating to see how Alex Haley is touring the country. He's going all to college campuses, anywhere for anyone who will hear him telling the story of the African, saying the book is going to come out soon. And of course, it's years before it does. But he was on the lecture circuit for almost a decade before the book came out.
The other interesting part of that origin story is that this was initially supposed to be a book about his family and his childhood growing up, I think, in North Carolina. And he then takes it all the way back to Africa. And I think that it gets at part of the resonance, which was, for many Black Americans, tracing back your roots, you could do it a generation, a couple generations, but then because of slavery and those broken networks, you kind of had to stop. And he was like, oh, no, look, we can actually trace this all the way back to Africa.
Not just Africa, the specific village in right. Africa. Like, he got very, very specific, which most people can say Africa, West Africa, maybe, you know, Ghana or Senegal. But to be able to go back to the very village, highly unlikely.
Yeah. Well, speaking of highly unlikely in the tone of your voice, I mean, you know, I think that is really fascinating that he sort of did start, I think, with a more modest or whatever you want to call it thing of like writing a personal memoir. I don't think of modest and Alex Haley as that often linked, but, you know, I think the ambition for this, and then it became this sprawling work. But it was also, I mean, did he call it faction? Like a mix between fact and fiction?
Okay,
and I mean, so, like, I read that it was marketed as fiction, but was on the nonfiction shelves in bookstores. Yeah, I mean, what's going on there?
Publishers, man, they really botched. They really botched this. So what happened was they initially said, we're going to make this nonfiction. This is a true story, which is kind of hard to believe because, like, there are quotes in it. You know what I mean? Like, how do you have quotations that are like 200 years old of dialogue? There's dialogue in it. So so initially they had marketed as nonfiction, and then, because people were questioning so much the veracity of this book, they said, well, it's a mix between fact and fiction. We're going to call it faction, which they've never done for any other book before. And, you know, he gets into some real hot water, not just because of the veracity of the book, but also shortly after the book debuts, the scandal of plagiarism starts to contaminate the air. And Alex Haley has to give account for how he actually wrote this book.
Do you think that undercut his work in any way?
You know, it's interesting. I think that Black people especially were so starved for a story like this that they didn't care that it was plagiarized. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing research for it, most people did not know about this scandal. So Alex Haley pays off Harold Corlander, who was the one who took him to court. And Alex Haley also gets accused of plagiarism by a woman by the name of Margaret Walker Alexander, who also tried to sue him. She lost her case, but he kept it very hush-hush. He settled out of court. He gave sort of a passive apology, like, I don't know how these words made their way into my book, as though words can just get up and walk into your page. But, like, but he makes this little, you know, this apology, and then that's sort of it. I mean, I don't even know how to explain how big Roots was. Yeah. Like, people mm-hmm. were selling T-shirts. People were naming their children Kunta and Kinte. You know, like, people were going to historical societies and trying to find their own family genealogy. White people were going to find their own family genealogy. Like, it was an immigrant story that people connected to, not just an African-American story. And so people didn't want to hear anything negative. Yeah. They wanted to believe because it gave them a sense of pride and a sense of hope that they had not had before.
Just as a metric, I mean, 15 million copies of this book sell, which is pretty impressive. Haley wins a Pulitzer Prize Special Award for Roots. He wins a National Book Award Special Citation. So there's this way in which, at the time, it becomes clear that the book needs to be recognized, even if it doesn't fit in the right categories for a Pulitzer or for a National Book Award. They're like, we need to do something to acknowledge the power of this book.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if Haley, this is not excused the plagiarism or some of the faction involved in this. But, you know, I think part of what Haley is pointing out here is that we have histories that have been either not recorded in the first mm-hmm. place or actively erased. And so when you're mm-hmm. trying to do the work of telling those stories, it is difficult and you have to use, for lack of a better word, you know, imagination and sort of in order to start to tell these stories. And I think that's how a lot of people have kind of come to see it as a work of mm-hmm. Of imagination and a work of trying to rescue a larger story than just the specific facts of his genealogy.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's also powerful because for all of his problems with the truth, Alex Haley is an extraordinary storyteller. I don't know if you've ever listened to an interview. There's a really good interview with him on Terry Gross, NPR. And he's telling the story of how he wrote Malcolm X's autobiography. And I was like gripped. I was gripped listening to him because he's so good at using metaphors and coloring this really graphic, detailed story. And his language is so powerful that, I mean, that is part of the lore, is that you can't just make up the story. You have to tell a good story. And he knew how to tell a good story.
And how much does the arrival of the TV show, which is just, what, 1 year later?
Yeah, 1 year
later. How much does that sort of overwhelm? I mean, I bet you there's people who probably don't even realize that Roots was a book, maybe.
Yeah.
And so what's the interplay there? How much does that kind of obscure the kind of questions about the scholarship here?
Mm-hmm.
And how much further does the TV series take the story?
Well, it didn't need it, but it almost gets a second life with the TV series, because people are reading books, but many more people are watching TV, and it becomes one of the highest ranked TV miniseries of all times. And it's just so interesting, like, talking to people and hearing their responses, because everyone remembers Roots of a certain age. Everyone remembered what their response was like when they watched it. And it was so visceral. They had strong, strong feelings of, you know, the moment when he's whipped and forced into saying his name is Toby, the moment when, Kizzy has this relationship with the slave holder's daughter. There's all of these moments when the father is holding him up and says, you know, behold, the only thing greater than yourself to the galaxy. I mean, there are just these real pivotal moments that people don't forget. And so in some ways, I can't say that the book gets overshadowed, because I think that people watched the series and then they wanted to go back to the book. Mm-hmm. And people read the book and then they wanted to watch the series. But it was so big. It's the last thing that Alex Haley ever wrote. He didn't write anything after that.
Which is kind of, I mean, he dies in the early 90s, but, you know, mm-hmm. so that's a decade and a half where he doesn't write again.
But it's like, if you think about Toni Morrison has Beloved, but she has a ton of other books that come out after that. James Baldwin writes books, and he continues to write books. But Alex Haley kind of rested on his laurels. But I also think that part of the scandal undid him so much that he didn't feel like he could write something else.
Yeah, you can understand the psychology of that, to have this book that becomes bigger than anything you could have ever imagined. And then to, like, the payout that he paid to Courlander was worth what would be today $2.7 million. That's a tremendous amount of money. And just, like, having to admit that some of the work came from someone else, it's just, it's a lot psychologically.
Paying a lot of alimony. He got divorced multiple times. So a lot of times he's on the lecture circuit to pay his ex-wives. And it's problematic. I think Alex Haley shows that, like, when you put profit or money at the heart, at the center of what it is that you're trying to do, you can lose yourself a little bit. And I think that he got so caught up in the fame and the celebrity and the money that he lost sense of what was most important.
Yeah. Interesting. You mentioned Baldwin, and to sort of bring it back to where we started, James Baldwin reviewed the novel when it came out, the work when it came out, and said, quote, "I cannot guess what Alex Haley's countrymen will make of his birthday present to us during this election and bicentennial year." And I think it certainly did change the conversation and open a lot of eyes. And also just a smaller thing that is just so fascinating, but, you know, this, like, genealogy craze that I think it opened up is really fascinating. Just this idea of finding your roots, and that's still a show that exists now, and it's like, yeah, that's still, and Ancestry.com has made that a lot more, you know. But I mean, I do think this is in many ways the start of a real concerted effort to trace family histories, especially among Black Americans.
For sure, for sure. I think in a lot of ways, Tammy Lewis Gates has sort of picked up the Alex Haley mantle, and sort of, if Alex Haley had the technology that Tammy Lewis Gates did, I feel like, and it lived long enough, I feel like this is what Alex Haley would be doing for everyone. Yeah.
Well, if Alex Haley had the technology, maybe he would have published his book in the fall of 1970 instead of 1976. You know, just go, go right on Ancestry.com. There you go. All right. Well, we will leave it there. Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you.
Thanks, Jody.
and Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
I had a lot of trouble. I owed everybody I knew that would lend me anything. I was so far beyond deadline, it was terrible. Worse than that, really, was the whole psychic trauma of trying to recreate what it was like in that ship hold. And I remember I had this sensation that came to me that there was a way to solve it all, and that was simply all I had to do was step through that rail and drop in the sea.
Support for This Day in Esoteric Political History comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/thisday. That's odoo.com/thisday.
Radiotopia.